Heavenly Father, as your servant, just standing here now, I ask that you will take control of every mind and of my own heart, Lord, in our ears that we might hear. I pray now that you will feed this sheep, oh God, with the sheep food that will give them strength for the oncoming days. Your will be done tonight, and take our brother, Lord, in your hands, and I pray that the great flow and charges of inspiration from the very throne of the Almighty will be his portion. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory alone, amen. Amen. Brother Ben, God bless you.
I greet you tonight in the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Certainly happy to be back in his house again. I'd like to invite your attention to Revelation chapter 6. We'd like to open and begin reading from there. From verse 9. Certainly appreciate the grace of Almighty God. You know, today just studying, waiting upon Him. It just seems that the Holy Spirit is just coming closer and closer to us and making His word so real. Certainly looking forward for a wonderful time again in His presence tonight. I mean, you can feel the praise of all the saints that is praying, and we certainly know we're going to receive what we expect. Amen?
Amen.
I want to begin reading from the fifth seal, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God or for the testimony which they held. Didn't die of old age, didn't die by accident, they were slain. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I'm going to continue on. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. Notice that the sun, the moon, and the stars there. When she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Just a little more for you want to read. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. As you noticed last night, when we were reading Revelation chapters 8 to 11 at the closing of the service, we took those things, the earth, the sea, the trees, the sun, the moon, and the stars. I was dealing with creation. And here we pick back up all those things again. Sun, the moon, and the stars, and the sixth seal. And then here, the earth, the sea, the tree, and all these things again. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are certainly depending upon you tonight, the author and the finisher of our faith. That you take this word and you make it so real to us, Lord. We felt your presence last night in a special way, and Lord, you have been so close to us throughout this day. Even as we come into your house, we sense your presence already here among the people. But we come, Lord, knowing that we are depending upon you. It's not by might, by power, but by your Spirit. Your prophet taught us, Lord, that a gift is to come out of the way that you could come in. And Lord, you, the great divine intelligence, the one that we are so trusting, that would take these words, Lord, give me a mouth like the learned to speak a word in due season. Lord, speak it in such a way that it would cause the will and purpose of God for us to become so clear and so real. A channel of inspiration could open up to us, Lord, our faith could be anointed. That we could come under divine leadership and will and purpose of your Holy Spirit in this hour. Have your way amongst us tonight. Bless each and every one that's gathered in divine presence. Speak to every heart, Lord. And make, by the hearing of your word, Lord, comfort us of faith sufficient to please you in this hour. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. Lord, bless you. May I have a seat. So we want to greet everyone again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to go right into the word. You know, last night we been dealing with a lot of things here, and tonight we just want to continue to speak in the same line, because as we said, the message, the title we have is The Revelation of the Seven Trumpets, and last one, the first part, we're going to take part two tonight, and we're going to go on like that, because I believe just like the seven church ages and the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials, it will all tie the entire Bible together from Genesis to Revelation. And as we look at these seven trumpets, we know we are acquainted with the seven church ages and we are acquainted with the seven seals, because we have the seven churches book and the seven seals book. And when we come to the seven trumpets, sometimes it becomes a little difficult, because not much have been dealt with the subject in no one message that we have, but we know it is laying there in the books and the tapes and in the scriptures here. And Brother Abraham, you know, in his heart is so desired that he was going to be able to finish out the complete book of Revelation. He says, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials, until the whole of the Revelation is open wide before our wondering eyes. And we, edified and purified by its Spirit, will be made ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And, you know, it was in 1965 when he came back from Africa, and he so had a desire in his heart to go right in, because he had seen so many great things happen from the opening of the seals right to that very time. You know, he had seen that how they had that great eclipse and the moon was blacked out, and God gave him the revelation out of the scriptures of what it meant. And he preached the message Shalom, showing unto us the great significance it had. God was showing something in the heavens while something was taking place in the earth. And that the church would not be left without understanding. The prophet went to the scriptures to reveal to us the spiritual application of God for the hour. And he showed unto us that what it was, the gross darkness that struck the church, Isaiah 60, light and darkness coming together and bringing in a promise unto us. The ushering of the millennium, showing us the great Jehovah Shalom, 1,000 years of peace, coming in and, you know, giving us testimony of the spoken word being created, creating squirrels and these things, showing us, he said, the great deviation in disguise. And you know how he, on the message adoption, he told us that Jehovah means one who existed with his family, one who made an amateur God like unto his own self. And here the prophet is giving testimony of speaking things into existence. Amen. Again, speaking about the great deviation in disguise, showing that we are entering to the millennium. This world is again falling apart. Amen. And the millennium is being ushered in. And the Lord has opened up those seven seals to gather his redeemed subjects together. Amen. Amen. And here it was taking place on the earth. And you know, he saw the darkness being pushed on one side. And the present coming of the great light, as he spoke of it, breaking between mortal and immortality, between a dying world of corruption and a bright new shining day. And he stood there, you know, seeing the promise from the scripture becoming so clear and so real. And while he was bringing those things onto us, then 1964 March, just a few months after, March the 27th, I believe it was. It was Good Friday, and he's up in the mountain. The day before, the Thursday, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He says, take a rock and throw it up in the air. And he threw it up in the air, says, something is going to happen within 24 hours. Here it was the very next day, Good Friday, March the 27th. The whirlwind came down, a whirlwind of fire, made three blasts in the mountaintops. He said, when he saw that whirlwind coming down, he told the brothers, he says, you run for cover. Hide somewhere. Get away quickly. And here it was, and it made three blasts, and it went westward. And he says, the men heard the blast of thunder, but I heard the voices. And we see those things in the scriptures. Under the seventh seal, there's lightning, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. Under the seventh trumpet, there's lightning, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. Under the seventh vial, there's lightning, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. And here he saw the lightning of fire coming down, whirling of fire, a judgment sign. Then made three blasts of thunder. Then there were three voices, three words spoken. He said, judgment striking west coast. Lightning, thunder's voices, and an earthquake. Alaska almost sunk. And when he saw those things, 1965, he had this great meeting and preached about birth pains. And he showed how the earth was going through its birth pains. And here is fixing to go through its third birth pain, to bring forth a new world order, to bring back a faith civilization. While he's bringing that message there on birth pains, you know, going up morning to preach, and he took his Bible. And when he took his Bible, you know, he took his new Bible, just something made him put on the old Bible. He says, you know, my wife gave him his Bible since for Christmas here. I think I'm going to go with his Bible this morning. And little did he realize it was the Holy Spirit making him pick up that Bible. Because God intended that by that Bible to give a sign that even when the Bible was printed and they had it in the store, maybe boxes of Bibles, and his wife went to buy the Bible in that particular store. In that particular store is a particular Bible where the pages were thick in a particular place. And a particular woman had to go and buy that certain Bible. And God is going to make the prophet pick up that very Bible in the morning to go and preach. And he's going to preach that very message just in the place where the page was thick. And God had a priest on the platform that morning. In clergy robes and everything else. Standing right there among all these Pentecostal ministers. And when he turned to his text in St. John 16. And you think of it, it's a very strange text he was using to preach what he was preaching. Very strange text he was taking it out from. But here it was. You know, it was the very place he had to take the text from. Because it was the very place the pages in the Bible were thick. And he opened the Bible to read it. He says, mind, there's a misprint. Something went wrong. And his wife sitting down there and getting a little trouble in her mind. She was thinking, all eyes is in me now. Because I was the one who bought the Bible. You know, and while he was going through that, and the minister standing on the platform, maybe each one of them had already found a place. But not one step forward except the Catholic priest. In all the robes, step forward and say, read out of my Bible. God is fixing to move. Amen. He said, be calm, God is fixing to move. And here the prophet, the minister, the Son of Man, took the very Bible out of the priest's hand and read the text, handing back the book. And as they sat down, gracious words began to proceed out of his mouth. And getting, you know, think of nothing else. But while he was going home, it kept coming back in his heart. Yeah. I wonder why that happened to me this morning. Right. What was taking place? Right. Yeah. We're going to read that scripture. The pig had a misprint. It wasn't a misprint. Right. It was sticked together.
Amen.
And he says, as clear as you hear my voice, the voice spoke from heaven.
Amen.
The one who wanted to fulfill something, the one who prearranged the situation,
yeah.
The one who was going, who saw it was fitting and timely.
Yeah.
To identify a particular scripture at a certain stage of the ministry.
Amen.
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 Spoke out to heaven.
Amen.
And says, he went into Nazareth and the book was given unto him to read. And he caught it. Because God wanted to make sure he didn't just take it as a coincidence. He didn't just take it as a little experience. God wanted to show unto him what it meant. So the boy spoke out to heaven and gave him understanding of what it was. Came back and preached, this day is this scripture fulfilled. And show unto us that, yeah, Jesus, when he came the first time, closed the book, read half of the scripture, but the other half, the day of vengeance, amen, was laying there as a prophecy for his second coming. And here, that coming, the Lord had descended from heaven with a shout, was barely in human flesh. Amen. The seven seals have been opened up. But now you want to identify that the Son of Man is here and he has taken the book again and he's identifying of his judgment.
Amen.
And here when the prophet did those things and preached that message and identified, went back to the pulpit and took the scripture and identified to them what the experience is all about.
Amen.
How many men might have think he's trying to spiritualize something? A little insignificant thing like a pig stick in the Bible, trying to spiritualize something. But he knew the voice that spoke from heaven.
Yeah.
Revealing to him what that meant.
Yeah.
He knew how he had seen the edge black out. He knew how he had seen the rock thrown up in the air and the whirlwind of kingdom, a judgment sign.
Right.
And now here it was, the preacher handed the book for the day of vengeance. And then when it happened, here it was, February 1965, preaching and identifying what had happened in January. And then in April, he went to California. And here he was preaching. April the 10th before that happened, he had preached Easter seal. And then came back and preached, it's the rising of the sun. And on the rising of the sun, he talked about that cloud being turned. Amen. And God revealed to him what he had preached on the Patmos vision. When by a vision, he couldn't interpret the Patmos vision, Jesus with a white wig. But here the Holy Spirit,
amen,
was showing unto him.
Amen.
One like the Son of Man in the Lord's day, between his priesthood and his kingship.
Amen.
Well, we are in that time. He said it was a confirmation of my message.
Amen.
Because you have to leave the sanctuary and take that book and open those seven seals to gather his redeemed subjects together to show that we are beating the church age in the millennium. In the church age, he was Son of God. In the millennium, he'll be Son of David. But one like the Son of Man who has to come back on the Lord's day.
Amen.
Between his priesthood and his kingship.
Amen.
And here it was, God showed it to him. Here was a white wig, the supreme judge.
Amen.
So he had seen the darkness come on the earth. He had seen the rock thrown up. Lightning, thunder, voice in the earthquake. He had seen the priest hand the book.
Yeah.
Showing that the day of vengeance in their hand. He had seen the stand of the supreme judge. Amen. And then he went to California, and while he was there preaching, choosing a bride, took the scripture Genesis 24:7, Eliezer. Amen.
Amen.
Bringing the bride, revealing the bride, the lamb's wife, Isaac was the lamb, Rebecca was the bride, and took Revelation 21:9. Amen. That one of the angels with the seven vials who revealed the lamb's wife.
Amen.
His very ministry in Genesis and Revelation identified himself, and at the end of the message, the Holy Spirit. That very supreme judge spoke to him.
Amen.
And pronounced judgment. Oh, Capernaum, Capernaum, Los Angeles, think of the angels.
Amen.
The wrath of God is belching beneath thee. You will go down. It'll be worse than the last days of Pompeii.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And here it was, that one who had been revealed, coming up all the time, had spoken out.
Amen.
And he pronounced judgment on the West Coast. And then the Holy Spirit came back again and says, look, in the beginning of the Bible, when the Son of Man was being revealed, in Genesis, before he burned the Gentile world with fire, God put judgment on the coastal city, Sodom and Gomorrah. In the middle of the Bible, when the Son of Man was being revealed to Abraham, natural seed. First was Abraham, then Abraham, natural seed. Then here it was, God put judgment on a coastal city, Capernaum. And here at the end of the Bible, the Son of Man being revealed again.
Amen.
This time not the Abraham and Abraham natural seed, but the Abraham royal seed.
Amen.
Amen. And then God put judgment on a coastal city again, showing the continuity of God in the Bible. It follows the very ministry that was being identified right there in that very hour. And then the prophet, you know, bring those things, and you know, he had to watch how those things come right up to that time. And he came back from Africa. He went there for his great meeting. He had gone in the first pull. And the second pull, he had a great meeting at Durban, South Africa, all these things. And he had never went back until that time. But he wanted to go. In 1964, he tried to go, and God, you know, he couldn't get to go. The people he thought wouldn't accept him, and maybe the denomination was against his ministry. But what happened? He came to the place that when he went over there in the meeting, this time in his third pull, now he had the message. In 1951, when he went to South Africa, he only had the signs to attract the attention. But the message had come forth. The message was here to gather the bride. And he looked forward to this great meeting to go with the voice of the sign now. And when he went there, he couldn't preach. He said, I almost had a heart attack. When they told me I could have no meetings, he came back. Amen. In July. And when he came to Ashamed, 3 months after what happened in California, he came and he began to preach. And he says, I'm ready now to preach those last 7 vials. And he came and said, I want to take those 7 trumpets, those 7 thunders, and those 7 vials to follow the 7 church ages and the 7 seals. He wanted to finish out the book of Revelation. He wanted to make plain this great mysterious book that could not be read through 7 church ages.
Right.
That was working for the sounding of the 7th angel. That when he begins to sing,
amen,
the mystery of God will be finished.
Amen.
He said, I want to tie them together because they all happen in a cluster. And then he came and he wanted to have a great message. And the Holy Spirit told him, it's not profitable yet. Because in 1964, God had showed him it was not profitable yet for the church. He tried to preach the feast of the trumpets, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. And here we are looking at these things and seeing by the grace of God that the hour is here and the Holy Spirit making the scriptures plain and showing us how God through his prophet is speaking. Balaam says, I'll give you sermons that you will be able to dovetail all scripture.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Amen. See, 1965, you hear him speaking. He says, I'm trying to stay under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to see which one of these mysteries to open up. So I've got time to dedicate babies and do these different things. He said, I've got to bring this message. This is the third pole. This is the opening of the word. See, and he was there waiting, bringing out the message of the scriptures. Because God was going to take him off the scene. God knew what he was going to do. So he had to bring those messages and leave it there. Enough that we will be able to dovetail all scripture. But as we were saying last night, he says that this entire Bible is the expression of one goal and one purpose that God had in the back part of his mind. And all the lives and acts of believers was expressed in that one goal and one purpose. Amen. The book is a book of redemption. Amen. A plan of redemption. With a threefold purpose. And a seal with 7 seals. Amen. And part of that plan is called ages. Part of that plan is called seals. Part of that plan is called trumpets. Part of the plan is called vials. It's only terminology. Amen. Because in the Old Testament, in Genesis, Abraham, you see, the church ages in the life of Abraham. Abraham being justified, Genesis 12. Going by faith. Abraham being sanctified, Genesis 15. Abraham receiving the Holy Spirit, Genesis 17. God coming a man to Abraham, Genesis 18.
Right.
Abraham and Sarah being changed, all these things.
Right.
But it does say ages.
Right.
See, Joseph making himself known to his brothers, the 7th trumpet,
right,
the feast of the atonement. But it don't say that.
Right.
But yet it's that.
Amen.
Joseph's brothers being gathered back together, feast of the trumpet. It don't call it that in the book. See, but in Revelation, it called it ages, it called it seals.
Amen.
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 See, we see those things in the book, how it's laying hidden there, that what is in Revelation, it begins in Genesis and come all the way through the book.
Amen.
And that's what gives us faith when we see the word tied together and become plain.
Amen.
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 See, Balaam says, if we have the counting grass in the house, and you know, the man fishing in the desert, something is wrong.
Right.
We know the pit ain't put up right. Because when the pit is put right, the man will be fishing in Galilee where the fish is. And the cow would be in the pasture where the grass is.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, some people try to have the bride going through the tribulation period, and they try to have the 140,000, up in heaven as the bride, and that they're getting the picture all mixed up. But the prophet came and began to put the scriptures together for us. Now, if you notice our scripture here we have read tonight, Revelation 6, verse 1 to 8, is the first four seals. We began reading from the fifth seal. But the first four seals was Revelation 6, verse 1 to 8. And there were four beasts that made the announcement in each of those ages. Amen. We found that the first four seals pertain to the seven church ages. Because Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin, under that lion anointing, with boldness, coming forth. And then, Columba, how the church went down the dark ages and died, under the ox, laboring, sacrifice. And then Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, under the man, reformer ages. Amen. But at the end of the Pentecostal age, the end of the reformer age, the end of the age of the man, was to come an eagle. An eagle is a prophetic age. Amen. And we see those first four seals pertain to the seven church ages.
Right.
And last night we took here how those seven church ages is the feast of Pentecost.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So the first four seals is the feast of Pentecost.
Right. Right.
Amen. It's dealing with the feast of Pentecost, that period of time.
That's right.
Then the fifth seal, Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, the fifth seal follows the first four seals. And it's the feast of the trumpets, because the feast of the trumpets follows the feast of Pentecost. Because that fifth seal souls under the altar. Who are they? Look at what they're saying. They were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Not the testimony of Jesus, the testimony which they held. And they're crying out for revenge. That God would bring revenge upon the enemies. He says the prophet says it was a Christian. It'd be like Stephen praying for them while they were stoning him. Like Jesus praying, Father, forgive them on the cross. Amen. Their hearts were not sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. So here they were crying out for revenge. He says what it was Jews. Those who were killed in the amateur tribulations of Hitler and Eichmann. Amen. So here this fifth seal pertains to those Jews who died.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
During the time of persecution, they were slain, they were killed.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the feast of trumpets. Here we see like we had last night, Naomi's family died outside the homeland. But Naomi was pushed back into the homeland by those circumstances. And there's 141,000 that had to go back to the homeland. But here the family was slain out here. They died out here, outside the homeland. Amen. And the sixth seal, we know, is the tribulation period, which is after the rapture. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. And one is before the rapture, the fifth seal is before the rapture. Feast of the trumpets. But the feast of the atonement is after the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. So, here on Revelation 6, verse 12 to 17, the sixth seal is the feast of the atonement. God dealing with the Jews after the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. Because the sixth seal, now the sixth seal follows the fifth seal. Because the feast of the atonement follows the feast of the trumpets. Amen. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, which we have read, is speaking of the Jews also. So the fifth seal, the sixth seal, and Revelation 7, 1 to 4, is all speaking about the Jews.
Amen.
Amen. And I want you to notice something, that Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, it says, after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree, on any tree. The prophet said, what is that? Is it like World War I that was stopped mysteriously? Nobody knew how it stopped. Is it Kaiser Helmut, ring of the King of England? He didn't ring up the other one, asking who gave orders to stop the war. He said, nobody knew the war was stopped. Amen. He said, it stopped the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month, 1918.
Right.
Amen. And you know, in World War I, how they had that poison gas and chlorine gas and mustard gas and these things. He said they almost burned up the earth.
Right.
He tells a story in God Power to Transform about the army chaplain. How he had went out Easter morning in the Argonne Forest in France. And they were checking all the tanks that was lost in the wars and different things. Taking a survey of the different things. And he said, Brother Bram, there was no grass, no bark on the trees, no leaves. Everything was all burnt up all over. He says, and you know, it was Easter morning, was the resurrection morning, and we were looking for, there was nothing testifying the resurrection. There was dead all around. He said, and I noticed a little rock laying there, and he kicked the rock over, and under the rock was laying an Easter flower, sheltered during all the wars. Amen. He said, here it was giving testimony, the voice of the resurrection on Easter. Amen. Here, laying there, giving forth witness and testimony. My. And here you see World War I stopped mysteriously. An angel stopped that war. Supernatural being stopped that war.
Amen.
Amen. Now 1914 to 1918, World War I, it followed the 7th month. I'm speaking about the 7 months for the Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost is for 7 months, a type of 7 church ages. And the 7th age began in 1906. 1906, 1909. Maybe you can just take a little look. 1909. See, we have the dates on the side here. 1909, here, Brother Bram was born. He was born 3 years after the Pentecostal revival broke on the Zuna Street. And by 3 years, what happened? They're already organized. Amen. And here he was, a 7-year-old boy, 1916, packing some wood and some water from the brook,
right,
going to his home, amen.
Yeah.
And while he's coming there, the world is in war.
Yeah.
World War One, all the grass, all the trees, everything's been burnt up all over the earth.
Yeah. Yes,
amen. And here's this little boy, amen, packing the water, taking it to his mama, who was sending for the water. And while he's coming to the water, a voice spoke out of the tree, a whirlwind.
Yes,
and said, don't drink or smoke or defile yourself in any way. I have a work for you to do when you get older.
Amen.
Amen. In the midst of World War
One.
Here it was, 2 years after, the 11th hour, 11th and 11th month, 1918, that same angel who spoke him struck the wall.
Amen.
Amen. In the midst of World War One, while the fighting there, them angels standing there, and them winds blowing on the earth and the sea and the trees and all these things. Amen. Here it was. That angel knew exactly where that boy was. That angel was waiting right where he's going to pass. That angel had something to say unto him.
Yeah.
The very same one, I'm saying, who took the Bible and identified this day, this scripture fulfilled.
Amen.
The very same one who spoke unto heaven and said, went into Nazareth. Amen. But way back here, little boy, he had told him about that work.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And here, the war was stopped mysteriously. See, 1914, 1918, he said, and now watch, verse 2 is, and I saw another angel. Now, and is a conjunction. Having the seal of the living God. He said, where is Jesus going to come from? The east. Where is the seal of the living God? The Holy Ghost. The final conduct order induction, page 93 to 95. And he cried a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in our foreheads. And we have brought last night that when the Jews, under the First World War, something happened relevant to the Jews. The first thing was Jerusalem was recaptured without firing a single shot. Then World War II, they were driven back into the very city that was given back to them.
Amen.
From all around the world, rushing over all nations, but the Palestine, the prophets in Ezekiel, different places, Hosea 6, begin to go into operation, all these scriptures.
Amen.
Jesus saying, the generation that see the fig tree put for his blood will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen. So, 144,000 to be sealed. Now verse 1 is the first war.
And verse 4 is when the 144,000 sealed. And we know that they will be sealed after the rapture. In the last half of the 70th week. When Moses and Elijah comes to call them out. So from verse 1 to verse 4 is speaking of a period of time from 1918 to the last half of the 70th week. Are you getting that? Revelation 7, verse 1, is speaking from 1918. When the war stopped, verse 1, mysteriously, holy winds, stop that war. Until 144,000 is sealed in the forehead. That's a revelation. Amen. Of who the Messiah is. Under the feast of the atonement. Revelation chapter 8 verse 13 says, woe, 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 by reason of the last three angels who are yet to sound. Showing that the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet is connected to the first woe, the second woe, and the third woe. World War 1, World War 2, World War 3, which is the Battle of Armageddon. So if Revelation 7 verse 1 was World War 1 that stopped mysteriously, then Revelation 7 verse 1 is connected to the fifth trumpet. Because the fifth trumpet is the first woe. The sixth trumpet is the second woe. Amen. So here the prophet showing us that war being stopped mysteriously, it was the Lord himself. That angel who had the seal of God with the Holy Spirit that was coming from the east. And he that stopped that war. So notice the fifth seal, which is the feast of the trumpets, and the sixth seal, which is the feast of the atonement, is all contained in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. Listen carefully. Because verse 1 is due to World War 1, 1918. No, we are in 1988. Last time we were speaking of what happened in this generation. So here we see then, verse 1 to 4 contains the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Because the fifth seal was them Jews who died under Hitler and Eichmann and them. A third part of the men being slain. But World War II, Hitler and Eichmann is after World War I. But verse 1 is dealing with World War I. Amen. And verse 4 announces 144,000 is sealed. Amen. So last night, we took there how that feast of the trumpets, which is the gathering of the Jews back to the homeland, the scattered people after the feast of Pentecost, which is the seven church ages. And the feast of the atonement, which was where the Jews going to recognize who the Messiah is. And we found out that in Leviticus 23, there is nothing written. Amen. Between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. I want you to see also, there is nothing written between the fifth seal and the sixth seal. The fifth seal is the Feast of the Trumpets. The sixth seal is the Feast of the Atonement. And nothing is written there again. Pertaining to the Gentiles. Because the fifth seal, sixth seal, and Revelation 7 is dealing with the Jews. Strictly Jews. And we have seen the Jews gather back in the homeland, and we are still here. Then if we are here, and we have to be taken off the earth, and we look into Scripture, and see what follows the fifth seal and the sixth seal, and see what follows the feast of the trumpet is the feast of the atonement, and it don't say nothing about Gentiles, then it behooves us to get a revelation of what is written inside of the earth. Because what is going to give us faith is to recognize our position in the Word. Amen. When we see our life matching the Word allotted for the day that we're living in. Amen. Not if somebody pats in the back and says you're going in. Not if we desire to go in. Not if we have ambition to go in. But when our life dovetails with the Word allotted for the hour that we're living in. Amen. Amen. Then you know you are the perfect match in peace. Right. Hallelujah. Glory. To the presence of God for the hour that you're living in. Yeah. then the word identifies you as the interpretation of the written word in the Bible. Amen. So here, nothing is written again. But last night, when we took the Feast of the Trumpets, we found out it was typed in the Bible. It was given as a feast in Leviticus, but it was also typed in the Bible. By Naomi going back to her homeland. After her family had died. Going back to receive redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. And we found out Joseph, brothers, being gathered together to get a revelation of who Joseph is. Was also a type of the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. And when we found the type in the Bible, though nothing was given away in Leviticus 23, it was silence, a secret. Nothing was shown. Hallelujah. But it lay somewhere else in the book. Hallelujah. What's going to happen to that Gentile group? It was laid in the book. Amen. And we found that in the book of Ruth, when Naomi was returned back, Ruth the Gentile was coming also. And we found that when Joseph, brothers, was gathered in a time of economic depression. Amen. Then what happened? He had to dismiss his wife to the palace so he can make himself known to his brothers. And we begin to see something connected to Gentiles. Because Joseph's wife was a Gentile. Ruth was a Gentile. Hallelujah. It was happening to Gentiles. In type, in mystery, in the book. Amen. Glory. And Joseph, in the time of his rejection from his brothers, while they were in blindness, while they thought they'd gotten rid of Joseph. Amen. He was choosing a bride. Hallelujah. And then his brothers gathered, and he must take his bride off the scene. Amen. And we found out the Feast of the Trumpets was the fifth seal.
Amen.
Because Naomi's family was dead, but she came back in the homeland.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. And the Feast of the Atonement, when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, was the sixth seal. And when Naomi, who represented the 144,000 coming back in the homeland in the harvest time, was receiving redemption under the Feast of the Atonement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, between the fifth seal and the sixth seal, between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement, Joseph dismisses his bride to the palace.
Amen.
So the dismissal of Joseph's bride to the palace, which is speaking of the rapture of the bride.
Amen.
Do we agree speaking of that?
Amen.
Amen. Was a mystery unfolding between the fifth seal and the sixth seal.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are talking now, not chronologically, but the time of the happening.
Right.
Something is happening in that space of time. We see the Jews get back in the homeland. We know what they came back there for. We know it's God bringing them back. We know the channel, national force, put them in the homeland.
Amen.
We know that it's time for us to go off the scene. A mystery has been opened up to bring a power back in the church. That you can enter into a wretched faith.
Amen.
Six trumpets have been sounded, and we are gathered for the sounding of the last trumpet. When it's mortal, we'll put on immortality. And then Jews, yeah, waiting. Something is moving. Just like it was. No doubt. In the Lutheran age, something is going to go wrong. He couldn't take the Catholicism no more. He couldn't go to experience. He didn't have a deep calling for something better than that. He was reading the scriptures. He couldn't help come across Romans 5. Justified by faith.
Amen.
If he was tearing his heart.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't even realize at that time God was fixing to move. But it was a time for a change of age.
Amen.
And his heart was pulling up inspiration. Even in the time of Wesley, he too, look at all the Calvinism, loose living immorality. They went up on a limb on eternal security. Made grace into disgrace. Amen. Hallelujah. And God raised up John Wesley with the Arminian doctrine to knock that thing in the head, the prophet says. Amen. Come on the legalism side. My, balance out the thing. Hallelujah. He didn't realize that God was in the seed, pushing him into a channel of inspiration. Amen. Then the Pentecostals in Azusa Street, the age was changing again. And they're praying, they had prayer meetings, and they had this crying out. The Methodists have become too methodical, become too formal, lukewarm, powerless, amen. And there were no manifestations in the church no more. See, it went up an order limb. But then Pentecostals, but suddenly the storm moves. Amen. Hallelujah. They begin to see the time for the gifts to come back in the church, the prophet says. They begin to preach it. They begin to get the atmosphere for it to happen. For I believe that 144,000, the age is fixing to change. Amen. From Gentile back to Jew. Hallelujah. Glory. Something in their heart has to be pushing them, making them cry out. Something among the believers has to start pushing us upward. Amen. Give us a desire, a call to go back to Eden. The prophet says, all children, in the coming evening time, don't you feel that travail to go back to Eden? Amen. Something pushing the bride. Hallelujah. Pushing her upward. And something in the Jew's heart calling for reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Could we have changed that time? Amen. And notice the dismissal of Joseph's wife to the palace. A revelation they wrapped here. She's going to hear her husband speak to her. She's going to speak directly to her. Amen. Okay, darling, I'll see you later. Glory. Go on your way. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got another appointment of brothers and I'm here. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. See? This great thing would happen when? Between the 50th and the 60th. Between the feast of the trumpets and the feast of the atonement. And the book of Ruth. We saw how Ruth came, the Gentile, was coming through the 3 stages of redemption. Yeah. See? And she was going through all that experience in the field. So here, we have seen the Gentile bride. Amen. Call out. Coming in the harvest time. While Naomi, Israel, going back in the homeland, 1946. 6-point star David. See? All his flag flew over Palestine. May the 7th, same hour, the angel appeared to the prophet in the cave, growing the world out. Yeah. Why? That Gentile is going to come in here. See? And then, while all that was happening, Ruth going through, she comes in the field, in the harvest time, and nourishment was being ministered to Ruth by the reapers of Boaz's field. Amen. Because Boaz told them, drop an extra handful of some sheaves on purpose. Amen. Them reapers were commissioned by the Lord of harvest. Amen. To minister the seed word, the sheaf. Amen. Fight for her. Hallelujah. And Ruth, notice, that who was that sheep? That sheep is the first right one. That sheep is the form image of the life. It is the grain. Amen. It is the revelation of the Son of Man. And they were commanded to drop it on purpose for her. In that very hour. Oh my. And here it was. She took that seed word. What was Christ? Was the Son of Man. The grain that had left the shock. Hallelujah. They were throwing it for her. Handfuls. Amen. She was going to take it home. And bake it, beat it out, and bake it in that bread. Yeah. She's going to make a bread with it. Because the same Christ was the feast of the first fruits, he was the bread also. Amen. Amen. The living bread of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. A loaf of bread she's going to make with it to break that very bread and partake of it. Amen. Amen. See, she had something to feed upon in the harvest time. Amen. She was feeding upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. She was feeding upon the word, the handful dropped unto her by the reapers that Boaz commissioned. Naomi was in the land already. Amen. Amen. Waiting for redemption. And them reapers will need throwing handfuls. Throwing handfuls. Throwing handfuls. Amen. And the little Gentile was taking it home. Amen. The kitchen. Hallelujah. To bake in the loaf of bread. To eat and feed upon. The nourishment. As Paul says, nourishment being ministered to the church. As we feed upon the word, we have been formed again in the word image. Amen. She was feeding upon that unfailing body word. And as she continued there to abide in Boaz's field, it's where it's coming out, it's coming out. It was dropping down in Boaz's field. Amen. The message of the hour. See, it was a commanded blessing. Yeah, he commanded blessing. Point out on purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. And while that blessing was being poured out upon her daily, Christ, the seed word, the grain being ministered unto her, she was going through her three stages of redemption coming through until finally she became one with Boaz. What is being feeding upon the word going to do? Bring you into oneness with him. Bring you into his very own image. That you'll be born of his bones, flesh of his flesh, faith of his faith, but you'll the life of his life, work of his work, the spirit of his spirit. You will be him revealed. Amen. So notice, all these things, which is written mysteriously in the book, typed from the Bible. See? In the book of Genesis, like with Joseph, how his brothers coming after the feast of Pentecost, after he had done choose the bride, after the first four seals, then Joseph's brothers comes in and gathers back. Amen. And then, here between the fifth and the sixth seal, Joseph's bride is fixing to leave. So under the sixth seal, his brothers could recognize the true atonement and weep and mourn. Not kill Joseph over again, just weep and mourn. Yeah. Recognize them. Where did you get the wool from? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it doesn't say ages, it doesn't say seals there. But we find out the very mystery is laying right there. Brother Ram says, no wonder when that seventh seal opened, he didn't say how he's going to come, when he's going to come, because it's laid in every shadow and type all through the Bible. Amen. And here we have seen and picked up exactly where it happened. And now, notice this in Revelation chapter 6. Where these seals are written in symbol form. But I'm saying the seals is written in symbol form. Under the first is white horse, a symbol of a church. See? Church symbol. But it had a mystery that it pertained to. Second seal, red horse, another symbol. Not completely revealed. But in the last days, in the voice of the seventh angel, at the end of the seven churches, it will be all made totally plain through the sounding of that vindicated messenger. Amen. After the denominational Israel run out, he's going to come and make these things plain. So here it was. He said it seals in symbol form. And we notice between the fifth seal and the sixth seal, between the feast of the trumpets and the feast of the atonement, here there's nothing written in the book. It's a secret again. Something about the Gentiles. We already know that Ruth is receiving redemption. She's going to the stage. We already know Joseph's bride has to be dismissed. So we begin to break into a secret that behind the silence. Amen. It's no longer silence. No. It's something is being said. Something is being revealed. What was behind the silence? There's a purpose for the silence. There's a purpose God didn't put nothing in the air.
Right.
If he wanted to give the secret away, he'd have put everything right there, but he didn't put it. He leave it there silent. A hidden word. It can't be impersonated. It'll be a person whose experience will identify those things being fulfilled. It'll be people whose life will make these things reality. The word predestinated to the word written for the hour.
Amen.
Amen. The word herself will take the word itself and identify herself in itself. Amen.
Amen.
Show that she is the matching piece to that very word. In the very season and time that God said it was going to happen. Amen. So here nothing is written. There's a silence again. See, do you notice that how profound that silence is? In Leviticus 23, it was silence between that feast of the trumpet and feast of the atonement. In the book of Revelation, it's silence again right there. But we find out that's where the revelation, the rapture, where the bride is being dismissed, where redemption is taking place.
Amen.
Amen. We find out that great thing that happened right there. It's right there, locked up. Amen. So the profound silence in the same space of time. And we are already one generation. 1940, Israel was a nation. After those wars, when they were sent back into the homeland, become a nation there. 1988, May, 40 years. And there, God have a silence in the book. But look at the great things that have been happening. All the books from Genesis have prophesied this very hour. Yet God is so silent about these things. A profound silence. But here we are seeing that There's a secret in that silence. If we are just accept, there's nothing there in Leviticus last night. I will find Naomi going back in the homeland. And Naomi received redemption. If we didn't look in the air, we wouldn't have realized that he is a Gentile. Amen. Coming to full redemption, coming to oneness with the Lord of the harvest. Amen. If we didn't look into Joseph's life, the seven feasts in the life of Joseph. The whole mystery of Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. And here the mystery being revealed in the life of Joseph in the Bible. Right. And here we see how his bride has been dismissed to the palace. Hallelujah. Because his brothers being gathered together. And his brothers weeping and mourning when they recognize it's Joseph. And here, those things. Gentile. The secret of the rapture. How she leaves the scene. Amen. Goes to the palace. My. And we also, no, there has to be some place also in the Bible that we can look and see plainly what is laying between that fifth seal and the sixth seal. Amen. Because nothing is written here. But in Matthew 24, we know that these seven seals, written in symbol form in Revelation 6, is in Matthew 24.
Amen.
In a written form.
Amen.
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 So let's go to Matthew 24. Let's look at Matthew 24 a bit. And see if there's anything between the 15 and the 16 in Matthew 24. My. We're going to read from verse 1. Glory.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. The silence. What is behind that silence? Is there something behind that silence?
Yes.
Amen. That he didn't want the world to see. Amen. He's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come out in a secret. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to get among that little Gentile here. Reveal himself in a certain way. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see, you not all these things? Pointing to the temple. He said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, prophet says, verse 1 and 2, April the 4th, AD 30. Amen. In the afternoon, he's coming out of the temple in Jerusalem. But verse 3, he is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He said, the evening of the same day, because they had to go and climb up the mountain. Amen. And he was sitting there, normally quiet, meditating at the setting of the evening sun, when the evening shadows were falling. Amen. It was time now to open up the book. To open up the seven seals.
Amen.
Hallelujah. An evening message. Glory.
Amen.
On the mountain top. Amen.
Glory.
My. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? First question. What shall be the sign of thy coming? His coming. That great secret. That seven seal is coming. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the age. Three questions asked. And here verse 4. Babylon says, verse 4 and 5, Matthew 24, 4 and 5, the first seal. Now we compare this with Revelation 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He says, Revelation 6, 1 and 2, the first seal. Paul is right here. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Second seal, wars, murder, wars, the red horse, blood.
Right.
Amen. For kingdom shall arise against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Is that the third seal, famine? A measure wheat for a penny, a measure barley.
Right. Right.
Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6, the third seal.
Yeah.
And pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the biggest sorrows. The fourth seal, pestilence and death.
Right.
So the first four seals was the feast of Pentecost. Is that correct?
Yeah.
First four seals were the seven church ages. Over here in Matthew 24, we just compare it the same way. Verse 9 now. 9 to 13, the fifth seal says, and these all, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. When them demons are loose from the Euphrates River. Amen. To bring a persecution upon them. Under the 50, they kill them out. The third part of the man. The fifth seal, Matthew 24:9-13. You shall be hate of all nations of my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now I want to read a part of the sixth seal here, where he's typing Matthew 24 with the seven seals in Revelation. Seven seals in a written form in Matthew 24, typed with seven seals in symbol form in the book of Revelation. Because we want to see if there is something behind that silence between the fifth and sixth seal, where we know we are positionally right now. Between the feast of the trumpets and the feast of the atonement. Between the Jews being gathered and the Jews recognizing the Messiah. We know if we are the bride, we have to be dismissed to the palace.
Amen.
We must have a revelation of the rapture, because the bride will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture.
Amen.
It's a revelation. It's only for the Father's spiritual genes.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit, he says, have come down to quicken and make alive those people for the end of God to go in the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. Only Joseph's wife will hear receive that dismissal.
Amen.
Amen. As much as the foolish virgins wanted to go, they couldn't go. They were shut out in the outer darkness. And they opened the door, you want to go into the palace? He said, no, you can't come in. Amen. I don't know you. Only Joseph's bride. Who you have chosen, amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He knew what he was going to do. He saw his brothers come back. They didn't know who he was yet.
Amen.
Amen. His voice was an unknown language to them. They couldn't understand how he's talking.
Right.
Amen. He had a silence towards them.
Right.
Amen. He speaks to an interpreter. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory.
Amen.
My. So here now, he says, now, page 24, the sixth seal. He said, now, you see, under the fifth seal, we find here martyrdom. Under Matthew 24, verse 9 to 13, we find it. They shall deliver you up and kill you, and so forth. The same seal been opened. Now the sixth seal is the one we are coming to now. Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Here we are. Now we are just going to get Revelation 6, 12 to 17. So he takes Matthew 24, 29 to 30, 31, and Revelation 6, 12 to 17. The prophet on the sixth seal jumps from verse 13, the end of the fifth seal, to the sixth seal, Matthew 24:29. He don't ever read verse 15 to 28. He don't read it at all. He reads it out in the book. But when he came to the message, the anointed ones in the end time. You go, I've given you some homework. You go and take anointed ones in the end time. He takes Matthew 24:9-13. See? For his text. Because here he was standing up, looking at the Jews in the homeland, rushed back under the first war and the second war, under the feet of the trumpets brought back in the homeland. The fifth seal, those who had died, souls under the altar. And he saw them, the hour was going to come, when Moses and Elijah was going to come to make known Christ to them. And here he stood as a Gentile prophet, who had to call the bride out.
Amen.
Amen. That she would leave. So he was standing between that fifth and sixth seal. While them seals have been opened.
Right.
So he don't identify himself right here. He jumps to the sixth seal because he's showing them those six seals. He's not dealing with the silence back there yet.
Right.
So follow me in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Hear what it says. It says immediately, page 25. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's the days of the feast of the trumpets, the two oars. See, there is tribulation, amateur tribulation that they went through the air. See, the tribulation of those days. Amateur tribulation of what? Hitler and Eichmann and them.
Right.
Amateur. So Matthew 24:9-13, amateur tribulation. Matthew 24:29-31, great tribulation.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So here we are, in the beginning of sorrows, between amateur tribulation and great tribulation.
Amen.
We are looking back at the amateur tribulation back there. We are seeing great tribulation going to come. But the bride must go up the scene.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. Amen. And the moon shall not give its light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Oh, remember he's answering them three questions? When shall these things be? All he told them. When shall be the sunlight coming? He isn't speaking much about that.
Right.
When shall be the end of the world, the end of the age? Oh, he's giving me signs here now. How the world, the is going to go into chaos. See? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, like we had in Revelation 6, 12 to 17. And the stars shall fall from heaven, sun, moon, and stars, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, a time of mourning. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he, the Son of Man, shall send his angels. He says, notice angels, plural. Two of them, Moses and Elijah. With a great song of a trumpet, singular. And they shall gather his elect. The remnant according to the election of grace.
Amen.
That Paul was teaching about.
Amen.
Under that sixth seal. He said they're going to see 144,000 in the forehead.
Amen.
Of the tribes of the children of Israel. Notice here. And he shall send his angel with a great song of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds. Where the angels are holding the winds, that they will seal them in the forehead. Amen. From one end of heaven to the other. So Matthew 24:29-31, I want you to notice something. How it gathers up Revelation 6:12-17. Because Revelation 6:12-17 spoke about earthquake. Is that correct?
Amen.
Open that seal. But here in Matthew 24 and the sixth seal, it don't mention the earthquake. Revelation 6:12-17 speak about the kings of the earth crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall. In that great time of the disturbance on earth here. But Revelation 6:12-17 didn't mention anything about Moses and Elijah. Is that correct? Moses and Elijah in Revelation chapters 11, verse 3 to 7. I have my two witnesses. I give them power over the water and the heavens and the earth and these things. And Revelation 6 didn't mention the 144,000. It only mentioned the elements being disturbed. But notice, Matthew 24:29-31 gathers up Revelation 6:12-17, the elements being disturbed, sun, moon, and stars. It picked up Moses and Elijah, my two angels. With the sound of a trumpet, it picked up the 144,000. My elect.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we know to correctly see what is in that sixth seal.
Amen.
We have to take Revelation 6:12-17, the elements being disturbed.
Right.
We have to take Moses and Elijah, and we have to take the 144,000 being called and seen.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Right.
But it's all gathered up here in the seals in a written form.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the fifth seal and the sixth seal, there is something in between. When the seal is written in a written form in Matthew 24, it shows something between the fifth and sixth seal. But when it's shown in symbol form in the book of Revelation, nothing is mentioned. Amen. And we see they are parallel one to the other. I wonder this portion here unfolds more of the mystery. Amen.
Amen.
Of that Gentile.
Yeah.
Between the Jews, hated all nations and persecuted and killed.
Right.
And the elements being disturbed.
Yes.
And the 144,000. Let's read a little bit again. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Jesus is telling them that he's going to a type of nature. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Amen.
And he put his unfailing words of promise and sealed it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Amen.
He's teaching on the seals. The Son of Man bringing out his revelations of what is under the seals of the opening of the Word. Shine will not pass away. Amen. Now, Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, souls under the altar. Revelation 6, verse 12 to 17, elements being disturbed, the fifth and the sixth seal. It's speaking of the Jews. Revelation 7, verse 1 to 4. Angels holding the winds. the wind blow on the earth and the sea and the trees, that you might see 144,000 of the children of Israel in their foreheads. It also speaks of the Jews. Look at the fifth seal, Matthew 24:9-13, speaking about the Jews. The sixth seal, Matthew 24:29-31, speaking about the Jews. And after the sixth seal, just like Revelation 7, comes again, speaking of the Jews again. The fig tree that is gathered back. Praying for its bud, the Jews that gathered back in the homeland. Now catch this now as we get ready to close out here. Matthew 24:9-13 is the souls under the altar. Naomi family who is dead. But Matthew 24:32-35, the Jew, the fig tree praying for its bud, is Naomi back in the homeland. That is not dealing with the dead Jew. That is dealing with Jews back in the homeland now, as a nation. Amen. 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 So this, what follows the sixth seal, really is after the fifth seal. It's really between the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Because after the world, after they were killed, then they became a nation.
Right.
So it really should follow verse 13. You understand that?
Yes.
Amen. It really should follow verse 13. That's what it is. Because those who died was under the fifth seal.
Right.
But who came back in the homeland, waiting for redemption, waiting the morn, when he sent his angels with the sound of a trumpet
right.
to make known Christ to them.
Amen.
Then they're going to mourn
right.
that elected 144,000. We see the fig tree put for its bud, and a tree point for its bud means reviving.
Yeah.
Amen. And Luke 21:29 said, when the fig tree put for its bud on all other trees,
right.
he said the other trees of Gentile nations,
right.
because yeah, he had a healing revival among the Gentiles,
yeah.
a servant at supper time,
right.
singular, not breakfast time, not lunch time, supper time,
Amen.
A servant, Amen.
Yeah.
Evening time.
Right.
To call the heart, the man, the lame, and the blind. He's a healing revival. Had three poles. Amen. To that ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And here we are on the table. All things are ready. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
So notice. Revelation. Matthew 24:32-35. Is really between the 50 and the 60. Is Israel back in the homeland? So, let's just read now verse 15 to 28, because I believe that that is happening and has been taking place from the time the Jews was back in the homeland. From the time that fifth seal had revealed themselves under the altar, one third part of the men that were slain. Amen. Verse 15 says, wherefore, now remember this between the fifth and sixth seal now, showing us in word form what is unwritten in symbol form. Amen. Now we can know why, what is behind the silence of Revelation 6. Amen. And see if anything pertains to the Gentiles here. Let's see. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him understand. Somebody must go, oh my, he says. Then let them who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the house have not come to take anything out of his house. Neither let him who is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto those who have a child, unto those who nurse children in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Oh my. Because that feast of Pentecost is finished. Feast of the trumpets was the Jews gathered back in the homeland. That was the fig tree pruned for his bud. Feast of the trumpets, the fig tree pruned for his bud. After the two wars, after the fifth and sixth trumpets, World War I and World War II, then the fig tree pruned for his bud, that we will know we in the last generation. No generation could have said they in the last generation until they saw the fig tree put for his bud. When the fig tree put for his bud, the very same time the 6-point star did appear, that angel appeared to the prophet in the cave.
Right.
Let me show you something right here. Just hold up in your mind there. I want to put this right in here. 1916, when that voice spoke to him as a 7-year-old boy, said, don't drink or smoke or defile yourself in any way. I've got a work for you to do when you get older. He never tell him what the work was. As a little 7-year-old boy, I wonder what the work is. I wonder what God has for me to do. I wonder what it's going to be. You don't know. Amen. Then 1933, 24 years now. Remember, World War II is 1939 to 1945. World War II. See, the Jews were not yet in the homeland. They were still outside there. Them souls under the altar was crying. See, some of them had died long before coming to them, different persecutions of the Jews. But here, to fulfill that sixth trumpet, where 1/3 of the men are going to be slain by these three, by the fire. They cremated them in ovens, by the smoke, where they gas them, and by the brimstone, where they shoot them and kill them. Pump them, they have no more gas, they gas them, they shoot them, and they have no more bullets, they burn them. See, a persecution upon the Jews to bring them back in the homeland, to rush them back. National force put Israel back into the homeland. But the power of God will put the church in the rapture. Amen. Put the bride in the rapture. Now watch. So while they were there now, back there in the homeland, we see how they were there in the homeland, yet rather, 1933, a 24-year-old boy baptized on the Ohio River. 24 years now. And the boy, the same one who spoke to me, a 7-year-old boy, I have a work for you to do when you get older, comes down between World War I and World War II. Between the First War and the Second War, Hitler was in the earth, preaching Nazism. Mussolini was down in Italy preaching fascism. Stalin was already in Russia preaching communism. Them three great isms was in the earth. Amen. And yeah, while it was happening, this prophet, a 24-year-old boy, yeah, preaching on the bank of the highway, and the voice comes and says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so shall you, your message forerun the second coming.
Amen.
And the voice spoke to him and made a little plainer to him what the work is that he will have to do.
Amen.
When you get older.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His whole life in shadow and type was written in the Bible.
Amen.
As Eliezer, as Joshua, as Moses, as Noah, all of them written in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A prophecy, Malachi 4:5, all those things laid in the Bible.
Amen.
Waiting to come for this right time. But the servant must come at supper time.
Amen.
When the fig tree prevails bud, then all other trees
yes.
will be going to prevail bud too.
Yes.
You have to wait.
Yes.
Even though you heard what the voice says,
right.
It wasn't time yet.
Right.
A couple of days after, 1933 June, seven visions of prophecy came.
Amen.
First three revealed fascism, Nazism, and communism.
Right.
Reveal the political realm.
Right, right.
Amen. Show them men who are the channels, them dictators, kings in the earth.
Right, right.
Not crowned as kings, but have power as kings.
Right, right.
See? Standing here in the earth, preaching those things. And then the fourth vision, then he saw them, the voice says, watch the king of the north. It will all end up in the communism. And right during that time, it was a great depression in America. 1930s there. Time of the depression, Wall Street had crashed October 1929. And when the economy went down, President Roosevelt had come in and win the election. And here he went to all the universities to bring the elite, all the brains, trying to revive the nation, revive the economy. But Obama says Roosevelt was the rascal of all the presidents. Now, the historians don't have him down like that.
Right.
I have doing some reading on Roosevelt, but the prophet says, the Holy Spirit and the prophet says he was the rascal of all the presidents.
Right.
He said he pick up England fight and throw America into war. He said we had no right to be in that war.
Right.
You see? So watch. He said, I saw in the vision the Americans receiving the great beating
right.
by the Maginot Line
mm-hmm.
from them Germans. He said they never brought it out until the Germans showed their own film. Then they admitted it, what took place there.
Right.
God was showing him the political realm. He began to see visions into the Second War, World War II, even before it had come.
Right.
7 years before World War II, he had already seen what was happening out there.
Right.
Hitler going to come to a mysterious end. Muslims going to come to a shameful end. He was seeing it in the vision.
Mm.
See?
Amen.
Then the fourth vision was after World War II. Science was going to increase. The chemical revolution, the industrial revolution, how it's going to tear up the earth,
right.
How it's going to discover the fourth dimension,
right.
How it's going to bring out television,
right.
How the fifth dimension going to flow into these three dimensions, to the fourth dimension, to bring hell back on the earth.
Amen.
To bring an insane age.
Right.
How are you going to strip your men from the virtues?
Right.
He saw it coming through science after World War II. Now watch. Then, the sixth vision moved from politics to science, and we're now seeing the religious realm. And he saw the invasion of the USA and the overthrow of the American government by the Roman Catholic Church. And he was warning about the invasion of the USA. He was trying to, what's communism here? And he said, don't watch the iron curtain, the bamboo curtain, watch the purple curtain.
Amen.
He saw America being invaded by a different kind of invasion. While they were coming drunk and intoxicated with the great material that was coming by the discovery of science after World War II. Becoming a materialistic nation. And get caught up in those things. Hear that? He said, look how that Jezebel was worming her way into the cabinet. Coming to the seat of power in the White House. The rise of the Catholic Church, the ecumenical move. Amen. The fifth vision, between that fourth and sixth vision, was the immoral problem of the age, he says.
Mm.
Because through television and all the Hollywood fashions, they begin to strip you of the virtues.
Right.
They went to accomplish that undress.
Yeah.
They begin to cut their hair and dishonor their head. It was the entrance of the spirit of woman liberation.
Right.
And then giving women the right to vote,
yeah.
The woman vote produced the sixth vision.
Right.
Because they voted in a Catholic president, a playboy.
Yeah.
The fourth vision, science, produced the fifth vision, the moral problem. The woman getting the right to vote, the fifth vision, produced the sixth vision. And the seventh vision was atomic power to wipe off the rotten politics, wipe off the rotten science, wipe off the rotten religion, wipe off all the immorals to bring back a new civilization. It was a total annihilation as far as the eye could see. Under that seventh vision. Now what's something? And between World War II and World War III, had seen these seven visions.
Wow.
The book wasn't open yet. That sixth vision at Catholic Church was that very Euphrates River who was loosing them demons upon the Jews through them dictators, Hitler, Eichmann, and Stalin, them in the first three visions.
Right.
It was all the end of vision, you've seen it.
Right.
Because all those things were in the Bible, but the book was not yet opened.
Right.
But God was showing him.
Yeah.
The spirits that will dominate this age and direct the course of world history until everything is finished. And then Brother Branham, under the anointing of his vision, begin to preach against science. Because the scientific age, that fourth vision, brought back the days of Noah. The fifth vision, the immoral problem of the age, brought back the day of Sodom. Amen. We burn in fire.
Amen.
See? And he was seeing it right there. He was seeing those things in the vision. And he was preaching against the Catholic Church. He was preaching against the ecumenical move. He was preaching because he was directed by vision. He always believed those visions.
Amen.
And when the seven seals opened up, he saw what the Catholic Church was going to do. Exactly what the vision showed 30 years ago. He saw how communism was going to destroy the Catholic Church. Exactly what the vision showed 30 years ago. Amen. He saw how science... What is going to do? Exactly what his vision showed. The great time of the age destroyed the earth. How God will destroy them who destroyed the earth. You had seen it. Amen. And here, when those things begin to happen, 1945 after World War II, that same angel who spoke with a semi-old boy in the midst of World War I, who came down and spoke to him between World War I and World War II, came back after World War II for him to pull the bride out. Before World War III comes. That sealing angel had to come to seal them up before the slaughtering angels come and wipe off everything on the earth. Amen! Hallelujah! And he knew exactly from the scripture where he was there. And here he went forth beating that second war and the third war with a message.
Amen.
With a sign which was attracting their attention. And then getting ready for the message. Beating the feet of the trumpets. And the feast of the atonement. Between the fifth seal and between the sixth seal. Between the second war and between the third war. He had went forth there, pulling a people out. Amen. So here in Matthew 24,
Amen.
Verse 21, it says, for then shall there be great tribulation, because it's coming, such as was not since
the beginning of the end of the world, the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be. So you see how that prophet life was connected to them wars. And how that angel who stopped the first war, who came down between the first one and the second one, commissioned him, who came after between the second one and the third one, pulled the bride out, is he comes back to fight the third war.
Amen.
Is he himself?
Amen.
Come to judge and make war.
Amen.
In Revelation 19, in the battle of Armageddon,
amen,
when Michael and Lucifer meet in the battlegrounds again.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So he's there all the time because why? His kingdom is coming in. He's going to take over every kingdom. The kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He's the one coming in Revelation 10, gathering his redeemed subjects together. He's the very one that is here amongst us tonight, anointing his word, and making it so real unto us.
Amen.
So we can see where we are, and we can know he's fixing things for the coming of the Lord. Brother Ram said, oh my, them angels holding back that thing I saw in the vision, while he's moving here, quickly trying to sit up his bride, amen. Quickly, the one shall be taken, the other shall be, well Lord. You see where the carcass is.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory.
Glory.
Verse 22, I'm closing. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Oh my, days will be cut short. No flesh saved, because why? We come back to the end of all flesh. Armageddon, kings of the earth. For that third war, you see? Otherwise, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, elect!
Mm-hmm.
Between the fifth and sixth seal.
Right.
Elect! Between the fifth and sixth seal. Like asking that elect.
Amen.
Amen. Like Ruth, elect.
Amen.
Between the fifth and sixth seal.
Right.
In the days when it's cut short.
Amen.
Amen. In the beginning of sorrows, between amateur tribulation and great tribulation. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, it shall deceive the elect. Behold, I have told you before. Because he was teaching that in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 23. Jesus was teaching them before with false prophets and these things. And Barabbas said, not false Jesus is, false Christ.
Right.
Showing you can't have a false prophet unless you have a true prophet first.
Right.
And then when he came to anointed ones in the end time, that scripture, what he didn't touch, what he jumped over and leave it silent.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Then he came to anointed ones. He said, not the seventh angel, the Son of Man. He's revealing the Son of Man to the public. He said, it's not a man you're feeding on. It's the unfailing body, what of the Son of Man. He said, that was that third pull, the opening of the mysteries to reveal the hidden truth that was sealing the word.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. With something happening right here. He said, it's now left the shock and it's been revealed to the public.
Yeah.
It's now being made known to the people. He came back. Why? He had leave the scripture laying there. He had leave it silent. Just like how in Revelation 6, the 15 and the 16 were silent, he leave it silent here.
Right.
But here we are looking at what is beneath that silence. Oh, I'm speaking about us.
Yeah.
For the elect's sake.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 26, wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he puts the second question, when shall thy coming be?
Right.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
That's parousia. When shall thy parousia be? You're afraid of the word, amen.
Amen.
That's the Bible. When shall thy parousia be? When shall thy coming be? When shall Revelation 10 be?
Amen.
Between the feast of the trumpet and the feast of the atonement.
Right.
Between the 15th and the 16th, amen. When the days cut short.
Amen.
Between amateur tribulation and great tribulation.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles, showing where eagle time. Not lion, not ox, not man, but eagle time!
Amen.
Is that the end of the Pentecostal age? There shall the eagles be! Gathered together, uniting time and sign. Gathered together. And he said, those seven thunders to gather the bride together! Amen. He gathers redeemed subjects, those who named us in the book. Holy Spirit, come and quicken them. Amen. To take them off the earth. Amen. Root, present tense, redemption. Nio, Asinat, being gathered, be dismissed to the palace. Amen. When the coming of the Son of Man shall be. So what's happened here? The Son of Man has been revealed. The eagles have been gathered together. The days is cut short. Joseph, bride, getting ready to dismiss to the palace. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Nourishment being ministered to roots and becoming one with boys. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll pick up the morning time stuff. Let's stand to our feet. Oh my, I feel good.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name tonight. How great thou art. How great is thy word. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts tonight, Lord. Quicken your word, inspire it. May it become real, Lord. May it anoint our faith in this hour. May it place us out where we ought to be. May it bring us in the rhythm of your great symphony. Bring us in the spirit of the director. Bring us in the spirit of the great composer, Lord. Let us, oh God, see that same harmony again. Lord, like it was between the Father and the Son, come back between the bride and the groom. Oh God, may you grant it tonight. We thank you and we praise you for your great August presence that is here. Bless the hearts of your people, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you for your sweet presence. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for breaking the bread of life. Oh, you recognize our day and our message, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.